Hey everyone, Adam D. from Indefensive Ska here. A little note before we start the show. Los Angeles is dealing with multiple catastrophic fires. A lot of people have lost their homes and are in need. If you're able to help, please do so. There are a lot of great organizations you can donate to, like California Fire Foundation, Pasadena Humane Society, Mutual Aid LA, and there's even a list of people in the music industry that have lost their homes. Links are in the show notes for our Rob Harvilla episode. Thanks.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138, visit Prevnar20.com, or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to Indefensive Ska. We aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of the music. Ska deserves the respect genres like punk, hip-hop, and hardcore find among their listeners. And for today's episode, we take a field trip to the Mosswood Meltdown Festival to defend ska. Our host is renowned music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska, Aaron Carnes.
Mosswood Meltdown began as the Burger Boogaloo in 2009. Burger Records was a garage rock record label based in Fullerton, California, that released mostly garage rock bands with an emphasis on lo-fi recordings and cassette releases. The label closed shop in 2020 amidst numerous allegations of sexual assault by bands on the label. Many of the allegations were compiled and posted by the Instagram account @luredbyburgerrecords. According to a Vulture article written in 2020, the Instagram account included statements by women that alleged the label created a toxic environment among its artists and live shows that enabled men to take advantage of women and underage girls. The people behind Burger Boogaloo, Total Trash Productions, were never directly affiliated with Burger Records, so they cut ties with the label when everything went down. They brought the festival back in 2022 and rebranded it as Mosswood Meltdown since it's held at Mosswood Park in Oakland. They also put up signs throughout the festival, making it clear that sexual harassment and harassment based on race, class, gender, sexual orientation, or ability would not be tolerated at the festival. Joining me now is my co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Link 80 and Omnigon.
And also we have another friend joining us today, illustrator and educator, Michael Wirtz. Michael, say hi.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me.
It was good to get to hang out with you this weekend, Michael.
Oh my God, it was so fun. It felt like home. Felt like home for many reasons, but especially because, I got to see you guys there. So that was really fun.
The first time I ever went to this festival was last year because I wanted to see La Tigre and Gravy Train. You've been going for a while though, right?
Yeah, this is my fifth time. We should really loop my friend Wade into this conversation because I believe he's been to every single iteration of this show.
Wow.
It's been going on for quite a while. But yeah, this is my fifth time, and that includes the regular Mosswood Meltdown, but also the Halloween iteration of it, which is like the version they have of it in October. So yeah. So I've been to it several times. I love the festival. I think it's like one of the best of events that Oakland has to offer. It's just, I think it's just terrific on so many levels.
Yeah. What was your favorite set that you ever saw at Mosswood?
Honestly, this year, seeing Gibby Haynes play with the high school kids kind of blew my wig off. Like that was amazing. I mean, I love seeing like the big name bands too. Like it was great to see The Damned. It was great to see Devo. It was great to see La Tigre. Obviously, La Tigre was amazing, you know, but I love the kind of like the somewhat a little bit more unhinged, like rougher and weirder acts, you know? So this kind of leads nicely into our discussion about ska, because there is such a rainbow of strange and wonderful things that happens at that festival. It seems like there's no reason not to have ska bands there, right?
Yeah, because other punk festivals have had a pretty good presence of ska, like Punk Rock Bowling this year had Madness, English Beat, Cat Bite, the Scottalites, and then there was this new festival called No Values that had Fishbone, the Selector, the Untouchables, and the Skeletones. And of course, Fest always has ska bands. So I wonder why there hasn't been place for Scott Mosswood Meltdown or Burger Boogaloo at this point.
Yeah, I mean, overwhelmingly, I think that people would enjoy ska at a festival that's, you know, got a lot of garage rock type stuff happening. A band like the B-52s that feel ska adjacent, though they play no ska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think ska has a place here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mosswood Meltdown, to me, it feels like a little weirder stuff, like you're saying, a little weirder on the punk spectrum. It seems like it emphasizes queer artists a little bit more than the other punk festivals do.
Mm-hmm.
And women in punk.
Yeah.
So in my mind, that's perfect for ska. Like, why aren't there more ska bands on this festival? There's like a lot of, especially like current ska bands there's definitely like a lot of queer identity involved. And ska has a lot of like weird music and weird like little things attached to it.
I think when I was talking about sort of like the weirdness factor, I should have chosen my words a little bit more carefully. There's just like it's more about this variety, right?
Yeah,
this wild variety I think they're trying to introduce to what could traditionally be like a punk show, where it's just like, you know, it's drums and guitars and basses and somebody yelling, right? It's and I love that. Please don't, you know, get me wrong, but like that, I think this year they had the Space Lady. This year they, you know, who's been playing on street corners in the Bay Area since I was a child, since the 80s, you know. So they brought the Space Lady back, which is like much more like Sisters with Transistors, like weird out there electronic music, you know. So I bet you anything, it's not really an oversight. It's not really a conscious thing on the part of the producers. I imagine it's just sort of an oversight. I imagine if this question were put to them, they'd be like, yeah, there's no reason why we shouldn't have like, you know, ska bands. I think maybe they just need to know which one would fit, you know. So I'll leave that to you guys.
Well, yeah, hopefully they listen to this episode, because that's the whole point of this episode, is for them to hear it. Hear our plea and hear our suggestions.
Yeah.
my personal, this was my first Mosswood Meltdown. I actually felt, for me, that Big Frida stole the show.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
I need to see a whole lot of ass everywhere. All right. You heard me? Just like that. Bust it. The matter of that. You gotta bust it. Bust it. Just like that. Bust it.
That was, you know, I mean, musically pretty different than most of the other acts. Everyone loved it. It was everyone was going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Egyptian Lover was there too, right? I mean, and you know, and you guys were there until the bitter end last night. I can't wait to hear your impressions of like the end of the festival. I was absolutely cooked. So I have to admit, I went home a little early last night. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Gumby's Junk was also amazing.
Yeah, they were.
That sort of that math rock, and my husband Andy was like in the front row, just like, you know, I could tell like his math rock brain was just like on fire. He loved it.
Yeah.
So yeah, having Hunks and His Punks there every year. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned like they definitely have made this like the most queer friendly, you know, and dare I say it, like the most like. Just like sexually diverse festival I've ever been to. So that feels great.
Now, Michael, one of your friends is Peaches Christ. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit to that performance?
Peaches is good friends with John Waters, and so you know, I don't know how Peaches ended up there, but I was really glad to see her there at the show, the sort of local drag luminary. She was also, you might have seen her on top of the Salesforce Tower during Pride Month this year. So, so there she was in all of her horrible glory. I think she, you know, she's also kind of a nice crossover because I do think of her as like really punk, right? Like her approach sure. and San Francisco drag in general is super punk, right? Like, mm-hmm. T-Shack, I won't call it by its old name, but T-Shack was like, you know, they weren't people doing Madonna, you know, lip syncs at T-Shack. It was like Ministry and Nine Inch Nails, and that was the vibe, right? You know, lots of blood and gore on stage, that sort of thing. So you know, it's really punk drag is what it is, and I think that is the acts that Peaches brought to Mosswood this year were super punk. Just like, you know, it reminds me actually going to see when I was a child, I went to go see X play at the old Kabuki Theater, and this band that opened for X was called Until December was the band, and part of them ended up forming that band Consolidated, which I don't know if you guys remember that band, but
yeah.
At any rate, it was so Until December came on stage, and it was all like big hair and like jock straps and leather, like harnesses, and all the punks were like horrified, like all the suburban punks did not know what to do. So I think this kind of reminds me of that, you know, just sort of like, okay, you think you're punk, or how about this, you know, I mean, so but my favorite line from Peaches over the course of her emceeing was she looked out on the crowd and she's like, y'all, we're in hell right now. This is hell. Like for a drag queen, especially to have any anything over 70 degrees for a drag queen is hell, right? Your makeup is melting off and you're not a happy camper. They never come out in the daytime anyway, but there they were on stage and it was too hot. She said, this is hell, but we're in hell together. And she's like, in fact, this kind of reminds me of Jonestown, you know, like look out in the crowd right now. And like half the crowd is like laying down on the ground with like their hats over their faces, you know? So, that's a hallmark of a good drag queen is that they have an incredibly dark humor. So, yeah, that was my favorite moment from Peaches Christ.
So, even though there was no ska bands playing, I definitely noticed ska fans, even without asking anybody about their ska interest. I saw lots of ska shirts and hats. I made some notes of them. I'm just going to throw this out there just to like show the level of ska interest that was just there. I saw a Porker's shirt, saw a Madness shirt. I saw a Denver ska shirt, Operation Ivy, Devin K. There was a 1-2-3-4 Go Records shirt that would use the two-tone logo, but, as a skeleton. Fishbone, Aquabats hat. There was a Scoggins transphobia flag. I saw someone with a Ska Dog Records bag, 100 Gex hat. I will include that. And we'll, of course, include the In Defense of Ska book that was at the Gilman table. That's a big one.
I love that you guys have the receipts. You're like, yeah. you're like, you know what I mean? Like, you guys are like, you like marked it down. Well, it's also interesting just thinking about, I'm an illustrator, so thinking about the graphics, like so much of punk graphics comes directly from ska, right? Like the two-tone thing, you know, like the letter set, you know, like hand done, lettering and all that, the sort of roughly done thing feels exactly like it's the cover of, Dance Craze, right? Like that's where it all came from. Like that two-tone, whoever was doing that design back in the day was like a genius.
Yeah. I also felt like a lot of people were wearing the checkered motif, which I know isn't strictly ska, but it does feel a little bit like stolen ska valor to wear the checkered motif and not be into ska.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's black and white. Isn't the whole idea is that it's like black and white together? We'll do a checkerboard. It's like perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is just my brain, but I swear as I was like walking through the crowd, I just heard the word ska being mentioned. Just remember ska.
I think that was just people reading my shirt.
Maybe.
I wore the first day I wore my Ska Now More Than Ever shirt. The second day I wore my In Defense of Ska shirt.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the people who put together the lineup, but I imagine that this is just like it's a mere oversight. I can't imagine that this is like a conscious decision. You know, we mm-hmm. talked a little bit about like the crazy and beautiful variety of acts we saw. You know, this weekend from everywhere from like the Space Lady to Gibby Haynes to Big Frida to Diamond Lover to, you know, to Pure Hell to the Bush Tetras, like so the B-52s, like much more, you know, mainstream. We could call it new wave, I guess. So given that, you know, I can't imagine that this is a it must be mere oversight. At least it is in my tiny mind, you know.
It feels
like the only explanation.
Well, we talked to several bands and we talked to several festival attendees to get their take on it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and listen to some of that and see what the consensus is.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Adam.
Okay, so tell people what you do.
Hi, I'm the head booker and CFO at 924 Gilman Street, a all-ages venue collective in Berkeley at 924 Gilman Street.
And we're here at Mosswood Meltdown. Yes. I wanted to ask you, do you think ska would be a good fit at Mosswood Meltdown?
I think it'd be the perfect fit. I mean, I think we need a whole ska subsect, you know, a whole stage to keep it going. And like, I think that it hasn't been included in this year is a travesty.
Yeah. So more ska.
More ska.
At Mosswood Meltdown.
Mosswood Meltdown 2025, ska takeover.
Oh, also let me just ask, what's your favorite book of all time?
My favorite book of all time is In Defense of Ska, available at the 924 Gilman booth at Mosswood Meltdown. We have ska at the 924 Gilman booth. No one else has ska, just 924 Gilman. Take that, other booths.
What's your name? Tell your name.
My name is Scott Miller.
And what is the iconic Sacramento garage band that you play in?
They're called the Bananas.
Okay. I've heard of them. Has the Bananas ever played Mosswood or Burger?
We played the second year.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did it go?
Well, we were early and there was some sort of wind incident that knocked some stage prop down. So they, I think it's six songs in, they came up and said one more.
Wow.
So unfortunately, we played all our songs that you play at the beginning of the set, and none of the songs you put at the end that are the hits. But hey, it was still fun.
So are you a fan of ska?
I'm a fan of what I would say. Well, I like old ska.
Yeah.
And then I was really into two-tone. That's the first kind of one of the first types of music I got into as like a teenager,
mm-hmm.
buying like the This Our Two-Tone and Dance. We went and saw Dance Craze movie in Sacramento, and we're like this.
Yeah.
We went and bought all those records.
Did the Bananas ever play with ska bands?
I don't think so. I mean, we've played so many shows, there had to have been one. Had to have been one. Or NAR, one of the two bands I'm in, had to have. But
yeah.
I can't remember.
And do you think a ska band would fit the bill for a Mosswood Meltdown?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Sure. I mean, personally, I would be like, I mean, I know that this is borderline not ska at all, but I think something like Madness would be really fun to see here.
Yeah.
And then there's, I'm sure that, I mean, you know, everyone's into 90s shit again. I'm sure some ska thing would
bring it on.
I mean, you know, even if you don't like it, listening to it, it's so fun live that you kind of get just kind of get caught up in
it. It's going
to
just explode.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everyone's going to be like, unwittingly danced at doing the dance.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one, man.
All right. State your name for the camera.
Full name?
Whatever you feel like being called by.
No social security. My name's Eli. I play with Gumby's Junk.
But what I had some intel from the 924 Gilman booth.
Oh, dear.
You played in a ska band called?
Skank Bank.
Skank Bank.
Yeah, I did.
Skank Bank were contemporaries of bands like Jokes for Feelings and Scandalism and Sarcasm.
Big time.
What was it like playing ska during that time period?
Honestly, gosh, give me a second.
Sure. You got to think back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed playing ska. Like, I kind of joined that band just because I wanted to be in a band.
Yeah.
You know? But I ended up finding a lot of really great musicians and like some people I still see today, like some of the people in Scandalism started a label and put out our first record.
Mm-hmm. Is that a Slang Church?
Slang Church, yeah. But shit, playing ska. can I start over?
You're talking. Good. You're doing great.
Wait, repeat the question one more time.
So what do you remember about playing ska during that time period? Because ska was not a really popular genre during the era that Skank Bank existed.
Yeah, it was popular in the very small scene that was Gilman just because of the ska nights they had there. That was like one of the more popular things at Gilman. I believe Tony Two Tone.
Shout out Tony Two Tone. So what was the lineup for Skank Bank? How many people were in the band?
God, we went anywhere from like, we started out with like four members, then we ended up getting a horn section, so I added three more, and then a keys player. So like, I think at our height, we had about eight people in the band. Yeah.
And so now Gumby's Junk, your new band.
Yes.
Played today, probably the most technically proficient band on the lineup.
Thank you.
It was interesting to walk into Math Rock this morning. What drew you? What bands are your like influences for Gumby's Junk?
For Gumby's Junk, we all love Deerhoof. Deerhoof is like our favorite band of all time. I mean, of course, like Zappa, Captain Beefheart. I'm a huge Hella fan.
Yeah. You can definitely hear that in your music.
Yeah, I'm trying not to bite too much, but it's hard to when you're still on your figuring out how to play your instrument journey.
Yeah.
What
about Taramellos? Was that one?
I dig Taramellos. It's not like we all kind of come from different backgrounds as a band. So like there's a lot of stuff that we agree on and then a lot of stuff like, you know, I really dig a lot. Like, I've been listening to a lot of Slam lately.
Okay.
But my bandmates hate Slam, and I don't.
For those who don't know, explain Slam.
I'm still very new to the genre. Sure. I've just been listening to this one album by Torture.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically just like an extreme form of metal that is all breakdowns and none of the vocals have like any words. It's just like frog noises. So, you know,
I love that.
Yeah. That type of stuff. But, I don't know. We like Jazz, our guitarist comes from a classical guitar background. Mm-hmm. Like you could probably see
definitely
it, like, all the finger picking
that
stuff. I, come from a jazz background. And what?
And ska.
And ska. Okay. And ska background, yes. But that's more my bass playing, which I don't do as much anymore, but I want to play more
now,
bass.
Did you play bass in Skank Bank?
I did, yes.
Okay.
And yeah, I was always a drum. I've been playing drums my entire life and bass for only a couple years at that point.
Okay.
So it was, once again, just, you know, wanting to be in a band and be part of something.
Yeah. So one of the things we've been asking people here at Mosswood Meltdown is, you know, this is definitely a kind of left of center punk festival. A lot of garage rock, a lot of, you know, you guys are a math rock type band. Do you think ska would fit on this festival?
That's a good question. I feel like it would fit if it was, if it wasn't just ska. I feel like there are a lot of great ska bands out there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, they're from ages ago. And there are so many ska bands that have come out after them that are doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, this isn't necessarily a ska band, but they have employed elements of ska into their music. I don't know if you know Cardiacs.
No.
But they're, I guess they're considered pronk, like prog punk.
Okay.
Whatever. But they have a couple tunes where they just go into like a ska moment.
Okay.
I feel like, yeah, if it's purely ska and nothing else, you know.
But maybe ska mashed up with something else.
Ska mashed up with something else, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's my own personal opinion.
So day two, who else are you excited to see today?
Gosh, I mean, the Space Lady playing right now. Incredible. Die Spitz is also going to be a really fun time.
Uh-huh.
Who else is playing today? The Mummies.
The Mummies?
Yeah.
Pure Hell.
Pure Hell.
Big Frida.
Yeah, so many acts that, like, I don't know, this lineup today is kind of stacked. Like,
yeah.
I was very happy to see the B-52s yesterday. And granted, like, you know, I don't know all of these bands, like, 100%. Like, I just listen to fucking, like, noisy nonsense most of the time.
Sure.
But, like, I appreciate this music, and I know that, like, a lot of these bands are killer, and they're probably going to throw an awesome show.
So you, am I correct in understanding that you are a kid who did some School of Rock type stuff?
I did a Bandworks.
Bandworks. So similar.
Yeah. Yeah. I work at a School of Rock right now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Just teaching drums, whatever.
Nice.
So
Gibby Haynes today is playing with kids, I believe, from one of these sort of programs. What would that have felt like for you as a kid playing with somebody from a band like the Butthole Surfers?
That would be insane. I mean, I feel like that type of exposure where it's not just like, you're not just being taught how to play music, but you're getting opportunities to play music in like a professional context. Not necessarily like 100% professional, obviously,
sure.
But like, I don't know. Like, I've had some good opportunities, like, playing through, like, different, like, whatever camps I've been in, or, like, when I went to high school, whatever, the music program. But, yeah, like, a festival like this, I couldn't even imagine. And Butthole Surfers, too. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
So, just to close, Gumby's Junk, do you think we could get, like, 8 measures of ska in one of your songs?
We could do that.
Okay.
We could do that. We'll figure something out.
In Defense of Ska will return in a moment.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had 3 jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Okay, what? Say your name for the camera.
My name is Teddy DeGroot.
And Teddy, I saw you skanking a moment ago.
That's correct.
So I heard for your bar mitzvah, you would have liked to have had ska music at this bar mitzvah.
I would have loved to have a ska mitzvah, but I unfortunately did not have a ska mitzvah.
What?
I had a Y2K mitzvah.
Okay. Okay. What ska bands did you listen to?
Well, around the Y2K era.
Sure.
It was probably Real Big Fish.
Okay.
That was. Probably top of the line there.
Top of the line.
Less Than Jake.
Okay.
Was a great one. And then, of course, Goldfinger.
Okay.
Because I was obsessed with that Tony Hawk game.
Yeah. So the question we're asking today, and definitely Tony Hawk was a huge entry point for a lot of people into ska. At this festival, which is not like your run-of-the-mill ska, like punk festival, would ska fit here?
Absolutely.
Absolutely?
There's a lot more ska heads around here.
Yeah.
Then you can really tell. Like, I mean, we're not all wearing checkerboard shoes.
Sure. Some of them are, though.
Some of us are.
Yeah.
But not all of us.
Not all of them. So so next year, Scott Mosswood.
Scott Mosswood next year. 2025, Scott Mosswood. I'm here for it.
I love it.
All righty. Who do we got here today?
John Ginoli from Pansy Division.
Oh, yes. Excellent band.
Thank you.
How many times have you played Mosswood?
This is the second time.
Second time?
Yeah. I love the Mosswood Festival.
Yeah.
And for years I attended it and thought, you know, they've never asked us to play. But I knew the promoter, so I went up to him in 2019 and said, do you think Pansy Division could play this festival? And he's like, of course. And I thought, well, that's what you get for just being a little more forward.
You got to ask.
So we asked, and then COVID hit. But we played in 22, and here we are in 24.
Perfect
band.
And
I love it.
Yeah. Now, are you a ska fan?
Well, I profess to knowing not a lot about ska. And then when I was 20, the second wave hit.
Sure.
So when I heard the Specials and Madness, that first Madness album,
mm-hmm.
and those fast songs, I was like, oh my God, reggae can be fast. And I love a lot of the second wave ska, which has gradually led me back to the earlier stuff, which mm-hmm. I do love very much. So I kind of went in that order, second wave, then first wave. Then I didn't really pay much attention to the third wave mm-hmm. in the 90s, but I tried to listen later, and I can't say I'm into it very much.
Not some your thing,
it,
yeah.
Some of it sounds like Bad Religion with ska, and that's not my thing.
Did Pansy Division play with many ska bands back in the 90s?
No.
Really?
We played with Mustard Plug.
Mustard Plug.
But it really was a different subculture. It was kind of like at the same time that the ska revival hit,
yeah.
it was also the swing revival.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't have any overlap with that either. But it was interesting. There was also a rockabilly revival that wasn't as big as the ska or swing revivals that also happened in the late 90s. And it's like, huh, there are all these little bracketed scenes. I mean, there's certainly a lot of ska and punk overlap,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't really happening for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't against that. It just didn't happen.
Do you think this festival, like ska, would work on this festival?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, but I mean, this isn't really a straight up punk festival. It's kind of alternate punk festival. So it's not like the No Values show. The No Values thing just happened, concert just happened in Pomona last month.
Yeah.
And I thought about going because there were a few bands I wanted to see, but I'm like, oh, there's like 50 bands I don't want to see, and there's and there's five punk bands I want to see. But then I thought if it was just Fishbone and the Untouchables and the Selector, I would have gone to that show.
Do you think that any of those bands could have worked on this festival?
Yeah, I think Selector could have.
Selector, yeah.
The other two, let me think.
The other two, I think, Skeletones.
The Untouchables and Fishbone.
Yeah, the Untouchables and
Fishbone. I don't know the Skeletones. I've just seen the records.
Yeah.
I live down in Southern California.
Yeah.
And I live about an hour and a half from the Glass House in Pomona, which has a lot of ska shows, including original Jamaican ska.
Sure.
But it's an hour and a half from my house each way, so I haven't gone. But, you know, it's something I'm interested in without having a lot of urgency to explore it.
Yeah.
So your website is Consequence of Ska.
We're the Consequence podcast, and we're In Defense of Ska.
In Defense of Ska.
Yes.
So let me ask you, as somebody who's a fan, how you describe the third wave ska, and is there a fourth wave?
So third wave is complicated because some people mean 90s ska, some people mean pop, like pop punk ska, some people mean...
I guess that's what I thought 90s was, like Mighty Boss Tones and...
But there was revival trad ska bands.
Okay.
There was a whole assortment of bands that played ska in a whole different way. So kind of the third wave thing kind of like reduced it in a way to where like it didn't really demonstrate the vast diversity of the genre.
I remember listening to a number of things on Asian Man Records,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
they put out a bunch of ska stuff. And but you know their approach is really cheap recording, get it down live,
mm-hmm.
don't do much to it. And I felt like that kind of undercut some of the bands that maybe I would have liked.
Yeah, I think there was like an
names.
Emphasis towards like kind of bright recordings that yeah. maybe didn't quite capture how good the band sound live.
And that makes it sound more punk.
Yeah.
And less ska. And I like punk and I like ska, but I'm not sure that I like them together, I think,
yeah.
is what I'm trying to say.
Hey, everybody has their own version that they like.
Yeah.
But I think there's some good new bands that would do well, too. Like, there's a band called Catbite or We Are the Union that are more politically progressive. And there's,
uh-huh.
like, a lot more, like pro-queer happening in ska now, which I felt like was maybe a little lost in the 90s.
Yeah.
So... But Selector, I agree with you. Selector's a great choice of the bands that played No Values.
Yeah.
Next year, why don't you do Mosswood Meltdown instead? Alrighty. Who do we got here today?
I'm Heather Lake.
Heather Lake. What is your connection to In Defense of Ska, the book?
Well, let's see. I think you reached out to me, how many years ago was it?
Oh, I don't know. Lots of years ago.
Lots of years ago. I had taken a picture of Kevin Dill and other...
Shige, Chavez, yeah.
Mike Chavez, all of those great guys.
All the, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so I'm from Hawaii originally, and I knew the Tantra Monsters. And so that's the connection. I met Kevin Dill through them.
Yeah.
And I think that picture was, you know, if Chavez was there, it was because the Buddha Glow Skulls were there as well.
Okay.
Okay, so let me tell you about this. I'll tell you
here,
a little bit more about it. Okay, you guys know about Shige. Shige's real name is Ryan Kunimura,
mm-hmm.
dear friend of mine. But I think that was the Buddha Glow Skulls tour to Honolulu. And something happened after the show was over. The show was sort of in downtown Honolulu, so quite a ways from where anyone was staying. And half of them got left behind. And I had a tiny little Toyota Tercel, and I got, oh boy, like I'm bad with names. I got a bunch of their gear. I got Eddie, and was it Brody?
Yeah,
was one of the horn players.
Yeah, as I think the trombone player. Yeah,
he was sitting in the hatch. So there were like two ginormous Buddha Glow Skulls brothers, Eddie and the other one,
George. Yeah,
and I think Brody was in the hatch. Because there was no more seats for him. And we had a bunch of guitarists, too. So, but I met Dill prior to that when Skank and Pickle came. Because, of course, the Tantras toured with Skank and Pickle. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then this photo, it's in my book. But it was also, I think, Kevin's Christmas card for a while.
Did you get Kevin's care packages?
Yes.
We all got Kevin's care packages. Wait, okay, wait. Did you get Junkyard Lesbians on VHS?
Yes.
I got Junkyard.
Yeah.
Junkyard Lesbians on VHS. Anyway.
Yeah.
Kevin Dill.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
He is.
So, you know, one of my favorite kind of recent Kevin Dill memories is you remember his mom.
Oh yes.
And he would go and see Elvez. For his Christmas show every year. And I think for whatever reason, his mom was still in good health, but she couldn't go that year. And they were playing at the Independent, and I didn't live that far away. And he reached out to me and said, he texted me and was like, hey, can you go? So I went. It was a great show. I mean, Elvis is wonderful. And I mean, they had inflatables for, you know, the Christmas shows. And after the show, of course, he does photos with fans.
Yeah.
But it was like in a men's bathroom. So he's like, it's time. Like, whatever, we got to go take a picture with Elvez. And we like run to the men's bathroom. And we're all like, hey, what's up? And I mean, that is Dill's
that's
Christmas card every year, yeah, basically is
riding the Kevin Dill train. That's what that'll take you places like that.
God. Men's bathrooms. Yeah. El Pez.
So real quick, you like ska, obviously. Do you think ska would fit here at Mosswood Meltdown?
I am surprised that we've had so much kind of old school music at Mosswood, and we have not. Have we had a single ska band?
I don't think so.
They could come on at 11:30, and I feel like people would turn out for it.
So who do you think, if you were to pick any band or any couple bands, who do you think would be fit the right vibe for this festival?
You know what? I think what we would have to do is we would need to get some people out of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Could we get Lars out of retirement from mm-hmm. Skank and Pickle? Maybe.
Let's do it. Yeah.
We have enough people locally that they could do it. Or, you know what? They could do a super group.
Yeah.
Get some people from Skank and Pickle. Let's go bowling. Who knows? Dance Hall Crashers. They're all still around.
That would be the
you
band.
You heard it here first. Yeah.
Okay. State your name for the people at home.
Hi, my name is Eloise, and I play bass in a band called the Linda Lindas.
Eloise, how old are you now?
I'm 16.
And how old were you when you started?
11, maybe.
Wow. How, 12? I don't know. Did you get started so early?
Well, I'm trying to think. Oh, Christian Control from the Dum Dum Girls wanted to put together some group of kids or something, and so I was part of that.
Cool.
And then me and three of the other people who were part of that just decided to keep going.
That's rad.
Yeah.
Do you think more young people should be playing punk and ska music?
Absolutely. Why not?
What do you think of the idea of ska at Mosswood? Do you think that would fit the kind of off-kilter brand of this festival?
Why not? I mean...
Sure.
Yeah.
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 What do you have coming up?
Oh, my band is playing with the Stones.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going on tour with Green Day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It'll be fun. Oh, also we're playing Gilman with Johnny Maraca and the Maracas and Wifey, so that'll be fun.
What's the date on that?
August something.
September 29th. Look for it on the Gilman
calendar. September 21, my bad.
Excellent. Who are you looking forward to seeing today?
Oh, well, Trap Girl was great. Uh-huh. Wifey was great.
Yeah. Did you see Twomp
Sax
last year?
I did see Twomp Sax.
That was a great set, right?
That was great, yeah. And
then did you get on stage with someone last year?
Last year.
Or was that the other people in your band?
Oh, I was on stage with Bratmobile, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
fun times.
Fun times, fun times.
I'm so excited
for Red Cross, though. They're going to be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of starting really young,
yeah, I know.
There's another band that did it. So who else, what's your favorite thing about Mosswood?
Well, there's always great bands.
Yeah.
And I love... I don't know. Everyone's so nice, you know? Uh-huh. It's great.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Who do we have here today? We have...
Ryan Christo.
Aaron Skidmore.
What are your famous bands?
I don't know if they qualify as famous, but I was in Switchblade Riot.
Nice.
100% Sweetwater Black.
And I was in the Hot Toddies.
Wow.
She All was right. in more bands than that, too. But.
All right. Have any of your bands been ska? Ryan?
No.
We have done a ska cover.
What song?
We did I Wanna Riot by Rancid.
Okay, that's a ska cover.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
for sure a ska cover.
Are we fans of ska here?
Yes, we are fans.
Big fans.
All right.
Big fans.
Do we believe that Mosswood Meltdown should have a ska or multiple ska bands? What do you think?
I mean, I feel like it usually leans towards garagey.
I don't know.
I vote for variety. I say yes. Ska stage.
Ska stage.
Okay, we're talking about a full stage.
A full stage.
We're just advocating for a ska band.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you guys want to advocate for a stage, I'm all on board with that.
I mean, I think that makes more sense.
Yeah.
There should be a ska side stage.
So what's a band or two that you feel like would be fit the Mosswood vibe?
I would love if they could get Dance Hall Crashers back together. They seem to be able to get bands.
Can we do an Op Ivy reunion? Because that would be...
So Op Ivy and Dance Hall Crashers.
Okay. All right. Lowering the bar a little bit. Who would you want?
I would love to see who is playing. Well, less than Jake. That's actually not, that's not lowering the bar too much, but they're playing soon.
Yeah, I don't know.
What about Mike Park? Would Mike Park fit at this place?
Yeah. think Mike Park definitely should. I think Bruce Lee Band should play.
Do we? What are our feelings about Mike Park?
I mean, he's got the biggest head in the industry. But physically, not like ego-wise. Like, his head is massive.
Do you remember when we saw Bon Jovi with Mike Park?
Yeah, I do. And who else was there?
Adam Davis? Okay, Adam Davis was there. Were you weren't there, were you, Aaron?
No, okay. I missed it, but I have seen a lot of bands with Mike Park. He should definitely be here. He should be on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Any of his bands. Welcome them all.
Yeah.
Please.
What about a Skink and Pickle reunion?
Yeah, let's get them, get Skink and Pickle back together.
Yeah, let's do that. One night only.
Skink and Pickle, Operation Ivy, and Dance Hall Crashers.
Oh, Dan Pothas. We were,
and Dan Pothas.
We'll were at the Bon Jovi concert with Dan Pothas.
Okay, and we'll get Dan Pothas back together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Jeff.
Yeah. Get Jeff Rosenstock back
Ooh,
together.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, no, he's still together.
He's not untogether.
All right.
You're not good at sharing a microphone, my love.
I'm sorry. I keep trying.
What is your what's your favorite thing about Adam Davis?
His huge muscles.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about Adam Davis was when he would send me poop pictures and be like, "This, look at this giant poop that I took."
I actually had, I'm going to say an Adam experience I had with poop pictures is I had introduced him to a friend of mine and they made friends. And then he immediately sent him a poop picture. And I was like, oh no, he ruined this friendship. Yeah. And then like he showed me a screen grab of the friend like love hearting the poop. And I was like, woo!
Dodged a bullet there. Yeah. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to yuck your yum, but.
All right. Any other words we want to say about ska or Adam?
What about a Hot Toddies?
I think the Hot Toddies should play a ska song.
Has Hot Toddies ever played Mosswood? Feels like an appropriate
we
band.
We have not, but it would. I feel like we would kind of fit in with the vibes.
Yeah.
So maybe, maybe next year.
We're going to advocate for ska and Hot Toddies.
Okay,
that's the new.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Scott Toddies.
We're not going to advocate for 100% to play here, though. I'm just going to let you know off that. Right.
Yeah,
off the bat.
That's fine. It's fine. Okay.
We'll be right back after this.
So who do we have here today?
Hi, my name is Callista.
Callista, what are you most known for, or what are we going to see on your tombstone?
Oh, on my tombstone? Oh, that's good. Party rockin' and and $5 fashion.
All right. So you like ska?
I love ska.
All right. Who's your favorite ska bands?
Real Big Fish. I like Operation Ivy. Those are the big ones.
All right. So do you think that Mosswood Meltdown should book some ska bands?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I feel like they would fit in with the like crowd here. I think there's probably a lot of pull for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you were to choose like a couple bands that would like fit the vibe here, what do you think would be those bands?
Well, it's not ska, but I want to see Glue Sticks here, and I want to see, I don't know, man, I'm trying to think of some, maybe some more local.
Mm-hmm.
Glue Sticks. That's all I got.
But who do you think ska wise would fit?
Ska wise?
Yeah, who would be a good ska band?
I don't know who's around right now.
But let's. Whoever.
Just whoever?
Yeah, just whoever.
I really want to see Real Big Fish.
All right.
That's big, and I want them to play the whole Turn the Radio Off
Start
album.
To finish.
Yes. All the way through. I'll sit through it.
Mosswood Meltdown, Real Big Fish, Turn the Radio Off, full album, start to finish.
Let's go, yeah.
Yeah, it's packed venue, right?
Yeah.
All right.
The house will be full.
Yeah. Are you going to go crazy if that happens?
Oh, yeah. I'll be in the pit, and I'll be, like, doing the two-step, you know. I'll kill it out there, yeah.
Yeah. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so who do we got here today?
Maz.
Larry. Trent.
And your band is?
The Mummies.
The Mummies. All right, so have you guys, has anyone in this band ever been in a ska band before?
I can't speak for everybody else, but I would say no. It's a hard no on me, but not that I didn't want to.
Okay.
It just didn't go in that direction.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the closest we got to ska.
Let's hear it.
We were working with Estrus Records on a album once, and we had the idea of... We had the idea of copying the Specials album, first album, where they're all looking up into the sky.
Yeah.
And that idea got shot down by Dave Kreider, the label owner.
Ruder Than Thou.
That's right.
Yeah. Ruder Than Thou.
That was it. Yeah, he didn't appreciate it. That's the closest we've gotten to the Mummies being in the ska world.
We did own scooters, if that counts for anything.
Okay, yeah, we'll take that one. Did Mummies ever play with ska bands back in the day?
Yeah, we played with was it Donkey Show?
Okay.
And Let's Go Bowling, I think.
Yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
From LA?
Yeah, somewhere down south.
Let's Go Bowling from Fresno. Yeah, Donkey Show from San Diego.
Those were grim years. Grim years for us.
Those are great. Why were those grim years?
Well, you know, when you're playing in Fresno.
What's worse though? Fresno, Bakersfield, or Visalia?
Ooh, Visalia. I mean, it's kind of
Visalia has some mystique, at least.
Yeah. I think it's got some meth too, but I don't know. We played in Fresno, we played in Chico. That's just bad news.
Oof.
All around.
Where did we play with Black Fry?
Oh, it's Fresno.
Fresno.
That sounded like it could have been a ska band.
Yeah, but all I remember about that show was how much money did we not make at that show?
We didn't make quite a bit.
Yeah, we didn't make gas money. That's for sure.
We did have to like kind of settle up after the show at the table with like guns out, and I think we made $25.
Yeah, that might have been because Black Fry gave us part of their money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were able to make it back home. Yeah.
Larry prostituted himself.
You told me earlier that you got some opinions on ska.
Opinions?
Yeah. Do you like ska? Do you have any opinions on ska?
Well, we were sort of raised in the height of the 80s ska era.
Yeah, I mean, we listened to ska growing up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely big special.
One
fans.
Of the first shows that I went to was See Madness with Trent in San Francisco.
At the Kabuki.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
What did you guys think of the Kabuki? I heard it was a great venue. It was before my time.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, in Madness, I think it was, they were kind of big on the radio at that point, but live, they were still doing, like, you know, stuff from the first album or two, and it was a nutso show. It was great.
Yeah. Thank you, Mrs. Ruane, for driving us there.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom drove us there.
In the van?
In the van. That's right.
In the shaggin' wagon.
Yeah.
Now you're friends with Lars Nylander, but you don't know him from the Skank and Pickle years?
I do not.
Were you friends, Larry, you were friends with him too, or is it my...
Lars Nylander? Larry is friends with no one.
No one? Do you know him from, what, 78 RPMs, or was it like a later band?
I think I first met him when he was in the Shatners.
Vulcaneers.
The Vulcaneers.
That's right, yeah.
And I remember they came down to a little space I had once to do some recording, and I pulled out all this old recording equipment, and I had this new Echo machine this vintage Echo machine, and we spent all day recording, and I put Echo on everything.
Yeah.
And then when it came time to listen to it, I couldn't get the Echo off, so the recordings were just kind of ruined, but they didn't reuse them.
Jerry from Vulcaneers was also in Skank and Pickle. Jerry Lundquist.
That's right, Jerry. Yeah. Remember Jerry. How's he doing?
Jerry's great, yeah.
Are they all from San Jose?
Jerry is from Omaha originally. Then he came out here and joined the band, and now he lives in St. Louis. Yeah. So do you guys think that ska would fit at Mosswood Meltdown?
Oh yeah, why not? I think it would. Yeah, and we're ready to do it. We'll play an all ska set.
I think yeah.
We were talking about that would be the way to go. Yeah. Mummies, same set as normal, but all ska. Yeah.
You know, there's actually there was a band that covered one of our songs. It was a ska band called the Decepticons back in the 90s. Yeah. And they did a pretty good version of one of our songs. So
probably better.
It can be done.
Better version.
We did almost get to play with Rodney Radiation. Maz poo-pooed it, and so it didn't happen. Thanks, Maz.
Yeah, don't give us that. You didn't want to do it.
When was that?
Here we go.
It was like, I don't know, a few years ago.
I remember seeing the flyers for that show, so that was recent.
I think it was like Bottom of the Hill or something.
It said Mummies, and it was crossed out, right?
Did you go see Rodney Radiation?
I did not.
See what I mean?
I had
not even the guys in defense of ska.
I had something that conflicted with it. I can't remember what.
Yeah, so did we. It's called Maz. Although I did get to meet him. There's a record store. I think it's called Ska Dog in Hayward. And he, for some reason, was in Hayward, California. And so I brought all my specials records for him to sign, which I think thrilled him because he had a rough night the night before. But he was a gentleman about it, you know.
Bay Area cities, where does Hayward rank?
Rank? Ooh. 41st, I think.
Yeah, it depends on what you're looking for, you know.
In terms of ska record stores, it's pretty high up there. I'd say like 8 or 9.
So Mosswood's going to have a ska band, and that ska band is the Mummies. Is this what we're all agreeing to?
We're agreeing. I don't know if the decision makers are here, but yeah.
Well, you have a request? We'll try to learn it real quick.
My request would be just play all your songs as ska songs, but you get Jerry and Lars to play horns, and then you're a ska band.
Yeah, we can do that. I have an organ.
Organs are ska.
We're halfway there, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got 4 guys. We got 3 more, and we're like a ska band, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will there be some random dude just dancing on the stage? And
Aaron, do you volunteer to be the random dancing dude?
All right, I got it. I got you.
Well, I have to wear a suit.
No, you'll just wear the regular rig outs.
So I think we go on at 9 o'clock tonight. So if you could be on stage by like 8:45, yeah.
Start dancing before they start playing.
All right, thank you guys. Do you think Mosswood Meltdown should have any ska bands on the bill?
Oh yeah, of course.
And
I
which
totally
which ska bands do you think would be a good fit?
Well, I mean, definitely not Omnigon because they're terrible. It's a terrible, terrible band, man. But yeah.
But Link 80 though, we would take Link 80.
I mean, yeah. I mean, any day. Way, way, way more. I mean, the guitar player in Link 80 is really good. What ska bands? I think a lot of the active ska bands right now would be really good here. I think Catbite would do really good. I think Omnigon would do really good here. I think that Hans Gruber would do amazing here. I think that it would be good for Mosswood to put some ska bands on there because just like what I said about how Jello is hard on ska bands, I do think there are some amazing ska bands that are making really great music that would blow everybody here away. And I think Moss would be blown away by how great they are. Like,
yeah.
I went on tour with Hans Gruber and I watched them come out to a crowd that had no idea who they were. And by the end of their set, they had everybody jumping all over each other. And it was like, for Tsunami Bomb, it was the easiest pickup right after that because they were so good at just taking a crowd that's like, what am I watching? And by the end, they were like, I love everything that's happening.
What's your favorite Hans Gruber bit?
the sock puppet.
Sock puppets.
No more Brontosaurus. No, they have a lot of really, really great ones, but yeah.
My favorite bit is when they get all the horn players in the room to play on a song.
Yeah.
I think it was like 10 horn players at the show I saw. Yeah,
I've watched them do a conga line of horn players. Yeah.
Can you get Jeff?
Jeff Rosenstock? Jeff Rosenstock, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. Anyone else?
Jay would be awesome.
Uh huh.
Do Will Big Fish still tour?
I think they don't right now, but maybe we can get them to reunite just for this.
Yes.
100% ska should be part of this festival. There's a lot of bands that could do really well here. People would really enjoy. People like dancing here. People like fun. I would love to see MU through 30 here. I think they would do great here.
There's all kinds of things that work at this festival, it seems like. So I think someone could definitely... I think there could definitely be a ska band performing. I don't know why they haven't yet, actually. That seems kind of weird that there hasn't been one, right?
Any thoughts on a band that might fit?
No, but, you know, speaking of Fishbone, they seem to like to do legacy acts. It would be cool to do that. I'm sure they would never get an Op Ivy reunion. That would be cool. I mean, if we're wishing and dreaming here,
sure.
Op Ivy would be cool.
It would be a happier day if there was a ska band on the bill. In my opinion, this the show needs more dance music.
There's a
great positive vibe here, and people could let it out a little bit more with some dance music.
What are some ska bands that you think would be perfect to fit this vibe and to get everybody dancing?
Well, I love the Slackers. And you can never go wrong with the Slackers show,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
And I just want to say, if I may, to start off, that there's no ska bands at Mosswood, and I think that's a travesty. You know, there's plenty to be outraged about these times, and I'm outraged, frankly, that there's no ska at Mosswood. They need to change this immediately.
We should put it to them
tonight. It needs to change.
Today.
All right. I mean, that's... Everyone we talked to, there was not a single person we talked to that said no to the ska question.
Yeah.
Lots of good suggestions.
One person that wasn't on recording, but they asked me about my Ska Now More Than Ever shirt, a guy named Will. And he asked me as I was walking through the audience what it meant. And I just kind of blew him off. I was just like, it just means Ska Now More Than Ever, because I was on my way somewhere. But then he found me later and he said, no, like I wasn't trying to like, I'm not trying to, like, you know, go against what you're saying. I'm just trying to understand it. And it turned out that he was into ska, had seen ska bands, had seen my old ska band back in the day. And, you know, even the people that I felt like maybe were going to push back on us a little bit, no pushback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So what did you think, Adam, from the suggestions people gave? Is there any that stuck out to you that would be perfect ska bands for Mosswood Meltdown?
To me, I mean, the obvious one is the Dancehall Crashers. I feel like they fit the bill. They're from the area. They haven't played since 2002. Mm-hmm. They're a femme-fronted ska punk band. I think they'd be the best fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also liked Dancehall Crushers is the right answer as well. But I liked the suggestion of doing sort of a Bay Area all-star band as well, where it would be...
Sure.
Members of Dancehall Crushers, members of Skank and Pickle, members of Let's Go Bowling, who technically are Fresno band, but still, and then have them all kind of do ska songs from their catalog. So that would be another, I think that would be another great suggestion.
Mm.
That's so cool. I mean, I can't wait. It's going to happen next year. I already have my tickets. Now some of the bands are, definitely New York, like East Coast, based. So if we had the dollars to fly somebody out from the East Coast, who would that be for you guys?
Mm.
East Coast band
or wherever, New York, it could be Brazil, wherever it is. Yeah.
I mean, Selector.
Well, Selector would be great.
Oh my God. Right.
I'm going to say Selector too. I think, especially with, like, you know, this year is B-52s, you know, same era.
Oh my God, that would be perfect.
I think the whole place would erupt.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we're decided. We have a local one, and we've got a must have and a nice to have, right?
Although it would be very interesting if Op Ivy did a reunion and it was at Mosswood instead of the obvious, which would be Riot Fest. That would be crazy, and I'm here for it.
People would flip out. Yeah, yeah.
I think Operation Ivy would be too big a deal and would potentially put the festival in jeopardy.
Okay.
But as a festival that thrives on chaos, that might actually be the right choice.
That's the right level of chaos.
If they really want to bring the chaos, that would turn the chaos up to an 11.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, they need to reopen that. Ooh, I heard, as the kids like to say, I heard some steaming hot tea about the amphitheater. If you want to hear that, a little story about that, the amphitheater that was closed for part of the festival this year, is being rebuilt partly with funds from the festival, from Mosswood. So I also love that about this festival, that they care so much about, you know, the community and are interested in working with the community, like the actual community, you know, the unhoused people who live there, you know, that is their house, that's their home.
Yeah.
But also the Oakland community that surrounds the park. They're not just showing up and, like, you know, throwing a bunch of trash around. They care really deeply about that place. So, fingers crossed that we'll have a nice shiny new amphitheater for next year's show.
Yeah. And on another note related to that, I noticed that this year, rather than the removal of the unhoused people from the park, they just kind of gave them their own spaces.
Yeah.
And so in certain spots where they were camping under trees and whatnot, they had just fenced around them.
Yeah.
To like leave them in place, which I thought was a nice touch.
And I think they also gave them tickets because, you know, I noticed that, like, you know, I shouldn't assume, but there were folks in the audience who were just, like, you know, clearly from that community, just like hanging out and enjoying the music just like everybody else, you know, and why shouldn't they, you know? So they, not only did they, you know, give them, like, leave their houses alone, they like gave them tickets to the show. So
would they like ska at this festival?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah, they would. All right.
Thank you for listening to In Defense of Ska. To support the show, sign up for our Patreon. Intro and outro music by Slow Gherkin from the EP Lives. Additional music by Dan P. and the Bricks. Please rate and review the podcast and tell a friend. Follow at In Defense of Ska on social media. The book In Defense of Ska by Aaron Carnes is available from Clash Books. Order it online. Chris Reeves of SPI is our editor. This is your co-host, Adam Davis of Omnigon, leaving you by saying ska now more than ever.
All right. That's it for this year. Michael brought this up. We've already purchased our discounted tickets. They're so cheap if you buy them the day after the festival.
Oh.
Like for the next year. Super cheap.
Is it already too late? You can't get those super cheap tickets?
I think you can still get them. $79. You might still be able to get them when you're hearing this. I'd go check.
Okay.
It's worth it if you're in the area.
And you know what's even cheaper than $79?
What's that?
The In Defense of Ska Patreon.
You've heard of it.
Yeah. $5 a month. Or you could spend $79 a month.
Uh-huh.
And we would appreciate that. That would be great, actually.
Yeah, that won't get you a Mosswood Meltdown ticket. I mean, it will if you give the money to them. But if you give the money to us, we'll just say thank you.
And we will make more podcasts. Yeah.
Yes, the best podcast that we can make it.
We'll make you the supreme golden plated podcast. You're going to love it.
Yeah.